So the world, when it comes to these types of things, the world spends a lot of time speculating, and the world tries to investigate and research. Occasionally, the world that's out there, they chance upon, usually by accident, by stroke of luck, they chance upon the Siyata Dishmaya, a discovery here, a discovery there. In the process of their never-ending research, but they're still limited. The world is still limited when it comes to these things. But by us we have an advantage, because by us we have Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. And just in those few words, in Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, it gave us insight, endless insight, eternal insight, into biology, into psychology, into all the sciences, that the world spends a lot of time and a lot of energy to understand and research and investigate. And on occasion, by luck, by Siyata Dishmaya, they chance upon a discovery. They learn, they notice, they realize something that we knew the whole time. Because by us, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. What the world is slowly getting to at a snail's pace, for us, we knew for a very long time. And tonight, just a few words, a thought. I want to talk about a specific area of knowledge that we're privy to, that the world is working very hard to understand, failing miserably. But by us, every small child knows. So I want to take you back 5,784 years, plus a day. The original Rosh Hashanah. It was a day, learning in the morning, but the bracha l'dagim, the bracha l'adam, that's where we are now, in those days. The days where Or v'choshech, they were working, be'erbuvya, they were working together. It was the days, the only day on this planet that the world got to see the Or HaGanuz. For a little bit, the Or HaGanuz existed in this world. The world was privileged to have the Or HaGanuz. And slowly but surely, in the process of development, we got to what's going to be tomorrow, what we're holding by the Erev of. And on that day, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Es HaAdam, Ofer Min HaAdama, Hashem formed man. It's not if somebody's maybe not exactly enlightened. It's not the day that the world was created. It's the day that Adam was created. Rosh Hashanah is the birthday of Adam. Hashem created Es HaAdam, Ofer Min HaAdama. He took the dirt from the ground. Vayipoch Ba'apov Nishmas Chaim. The world saw something that the Malachim didn't know what to do with. It was the first time. Vayipoch Ba'apov Nishmas Chaim. A neshama landed in this world. A neshama was created. Vayihi HaAdam L'nefesh Chaya. And there was a creature that stood up in this world after the Dagim, after the Behemoths and Chayas, after the birds, after all the other creations. Vayihi HaAdam L'nefesh Chaya. A new creature was created in this world, a Nefesh Chaya. That the birds and the fish and the animals were there to serve. That the trees and the fruits and the plants were there to serve. That the Malachim were there to serve. That the Shemesh, Kochavim, Mazalos were there to serve. The purpose of creation. Vayihi HaAdam L'nefesh Chaya. And you can imagine, you go back 5,784 years plus a day. You go back and you imagine, suddenly awaken, you arise from darkness into consciousness, and your physical senses are trying to grasp where you are, what's going on. Your soul, your neshama, is trying to pursue, immediately seeking explanations, answers. And without much of a delay, from the mouth of Hashem, Vayikach Hashem Elokim Es HaAdam V'Yenicheyu B'Gan Eden La'avda U'L'Shamra. Purpose was spot on. No hesitation. The purpose was given, was decreed, man was placed, La'avda U'L'Shamra. And people misunderstand the pasuk. If the very least we walk out of tonight, we know what the pasuk means. People think the pasuk means we were put, we were commanded, La'avda to work it, ulishamra, to protect it, means the gan, the garden. I'm not sure who thought that up. The Rishonim say it. I'm not sure what it means. To work, to protect the garden, it's very nice. That's not why I'm here. So the Sfarno says, La'avda ulishamra means nishmas chayim. You put in the world, La'avda, to work it. What's it? Nishmas chayim. L'shamra, to protect it. What's it? Nishmas chayim. You're here to build the nishmas chayim. So on that day, the first day of all the days, when Adam became a nefesh chaya, Hashem tasked him to work la'avda u'lishamra, to make sure that nefesh chaya, the nishmas chayim, is going to build, it's going to grow, it's going to be taken care of. And now, 5,784 years later, minus a day, it's the birthday. Another birthday. Now, I personally don't appreciate, people who are close to me know, I don't appreciate the way the world celebrates birthdays. You go out and you take your friends to the shuk, and you get a meal and a couple beers, and you have a good time. I don't know who made that up. I love having a beer. I love having a good time. Not on my birthday. No way. Not on my birthday. No cakes, no presents, no ribbons. Every day of the year, all the cakes, all the presents, all the ribbons, all the beer, all the show. Not on my birthday. Because on our birthday, one phrase, one sentence, hopefully tomorrow it'll be a song that comes to mind. On our birthday we say, Hayom haras olam. Today's the birthday of the world. Hayom ya'amid b'mishpat. Today's when I take a step back. Kol yitzurei olam. All the creatures on this planet, on the day of their birth. Hayom ya'amid b'mishpat. This is a real day. It's not for ribbons and cakes and cupcakes and beers and shuk every day of the week. No problem. Not my birthday. The worst day you chose to take me to the shuk, to show me a good time. I'll tell you what's a good time. We're going to have a good time. A different kind of good time. A real good time. A wonderful good time. Because we all know. For some you're taught. But for most of us we don't need to be taught. We know intuitively that your birthday is for assessment. Your birthday is to take stock and to evaluate the past. Your birthday is to prime yourself and ready yourself for the future. Your birthday is not for beers at the shuk. Every day of the week, no problem. Any Tuesday night, any Thursday after the sikha. Any Tuesday night, any Thursday night, any Saturday night, no problem. Not on your birthday. And there's a minhag, funny minhag developed in Klal Yisrael. Go into a house, a newlywed couple. There's nothing on the walls yet. They got to repaint. They got to bring in furniture. But one thing, the first thing to go up, they hang the sugya we're learning, Inyana of our yeshiva. They hang the ksuba. Funny thing. We don't know how to celebrate birthdays for sure. For sure, we need a lot of work on that. And for sure, you see this practice, you hang up a ksuba. So we're going to learn. We're going to learn this year. What's a ksuba? A ksuba is a prenup. Ksuba says, if we get divorced, then I owe you a couple bucks. You get the house, I get the car, she gets the business, I keep the kids. It's a prenup. So you hang it on your wall, on your dining room, your living room wall. Everybody should see. I'm announcing to all my guests in public, you should know, this is our plan. When we get divorced, she gets the kids, I get the house, she gets the car, I get the boat. Gishma. Mazel tov. A great marriage you're going to have. Beautiful family you're going to build. So a lot of the Rabbanim, a lot of poskim, they talk about this. What a silly idea. And maybe it came from the artists. They made very artistic ksubas. So people spend a lot of money, $300, $1,000 ksubas. And you want to hang it up because it's a decoration, nice decoration. But if you read it, it's hard to read. Very hard to read. Very hard to understand. Once in a while, an educated guy might come into your house and know what it says and be very confused. This is what you're publicizing? But personally, I love the ksub on the wall. I love it. I think it's amazing. Because we're going to learn this year, what does it say in the ksuba? And there's a line, I'll read to you a line, gorgeous line. It says in the ksuba, a little bit before the part about, you know, if things don't go well, who gets the horse and who gets the cows. There's a line before that. And the line says, a gorgeous line. Havi lila intu, she's going to be my wife. Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, the way it's supposed to be done. Vana efloch v'okir v'izon v'efarnes yiseichi l'chi kehilchas guvrin yehudoin. You know what I mean? It's very easy. Nice phrase. I love the end of the phrase. Kehilchos guvrin yehudoin. Like a real Jewish guy. Something I'm going to do, I don't know what it says over there, I'm going to do, but something I'm going to do like a real Jewish guy. So let's say what it says. I'm going to iflach v'okir. Okir, what a word. I'm going to honor. I'm going to honor her and izon v'efarnis. I'm going to take care of her. I'm going to support her. I'm going to feed and clothe. But the ikr is the okir. The main part is okir. I'm going to honor her. I'm going to honor this woman. Like who? Kehilchos guvrin yehudayim. Like a real Jewish man. That's a real Jewish guy. A real Jewish guy, he's not a, you know, he's not perfect. He's healthy, he's normal, he's not perfect. That's perfect to be not perfect. And sometimes he forgets. So to put on his wall a mezuzah, it's a mezuzah. One mezuzah says, Shema Yisrael, don't forget that there's a Lord above. And another mezuzah, you hang on your living room, dining room, and it says, don't forget you have a gorgeous wife, gorgeous on the outside, gorgeous on the inside, and you have a job. Kehilchos guvrin yehudayim. Like a good Jewish guy, your job is to okay. To honor her, to respect her, to worship her, to treat her like gold, to treat her like a mezuzah. It's a mezuzah. Amazing mezuzah, because we forget. And sometimes a necessary reminder, because you learn, you know, when you're 18, 19, you learn Shaktu, Chachamim, Maltakanas, Bronos Yisrael, Shehez Sameach, Ima, the rabbis, interesting ideas they had. They Shaktu, they had compassion on Jewish girls, Shehez Sameach, Ima, Gimel Yamim. What are they afraid of? A guy on his honeymoon is going to pack out and go to work? That's what they're afraid of. That's what they're afraid of. So they had to make a shaktu, chacham, and maltakanas b'nos Yisrael, that you can go on a little honeymoon, stay home a couple days, on Amana 3, Basula 7, stick around a little bit, have a nice time. The okir, treat her with a little respect, honor, cherish, worship. So to put a ksub on a wall, I love the minna. It's an amazing minna. It's artistic, it's not artistic, who cares? It's a mezuzah. It says I have to okir my wife. So on an anniversary, became a minhag also. I feel a little bit in the Jewish world. You know, these minhagim, they seep into, I feel in the Jewish world. Became a minhag, a funny minhag. I heard about it maybe, you know, when I was a kid growing up. I didn't really understand it. But some things it takes time to process, takes time to digest and to understand why it's necessary. The minhag I heard when I was a kid and became very popular. Then on the birthday of your wedding, when a couple gets married, on the birthday, I call it anniversary, on the anniversary, maybe after 10 years, things get a little schwach, they die down, he didn't kiss the mezuzah of the ksuba, he didn't kiss the okir, he forgot kehilchos guvrin yehudayim. They have a new minhag after 10, 15, if they make it to 20. The 20-year anniversary, they renew the vows. They call all the chaverim, they make a sudas mitzvah, they have a chuppah filu, achlekes, which one? Yichud, not yichud. You'll tell them the ram. And they have a whole maisa, 18-piece orchestra. You get your shwekis and your simcha liners. You do the whole thing. You do the whole thing. And you renew the vows. When I was young, I thought, that's nonsense. It's a nonsense thing. Renew vows. What kind of nonsense thing? And you get older and you realize that marriage is challenging. And marriage is a struggle. And every day you have to wake up and kiss the mezuzah to remind yourself to be kehilchos guvrin yehudayin. And you have to remind yourself to be okin ve'efarnis. You have to take care of her and worship her and cherish her and think about her and dream about her and whatever she needs, that's your first and your second and your third priority. But you forget. Sometimes you forget. So if the ksuba stops working, then on occasion, 5, 10 years, you got to renew the vows. And what is that? Simple thing. You take stock. and you evaluate the past, and you prime yourself and you ready yourself for the future, so that the Va'okir will become revitalized. It'll revitalize the Okir. So tonight I have one thing in mind. The guys in my shiur, the morning shiur, know that I've been dreaming about this the whole week. The whole week I'm dreaming about one thing. I want it, together with all the guys, to renew the vows. That's all I want to do. Renew the vows. Simple thing. Nothing fancy, nothing complicated. No drushes. Remind ourselves how it all started. Remind ourselves why it all started. I walk into a big birthday bash. Tomorrow night, as far as I'm concerned, that's the big birthday bash. The real cupcakes, the real beers, the real celebration. But I want to walk into the real birthday bash the way it should be walked into, refreshed, revitalized, to remember and be cognizant of the Okir, that I want to cherish, I want to understand, I want to think about my vows. So what are these vows? So we're going to say tomorrow in Malchius, I'm going to say my highlight of my year. It's really the highlight of my day. But the Chazan, I don't know how the Chazan's mind works sometimes. He spends a lot of time on the wrong, things and not enough time on the right things. I don't understand. They spend a lot of time on some things that, for me, I don't connect to so much. We have to work on different parts of davening. And the most gorgeous part, they don't give us half enough time to finish. Half enough time to say a quarter of the words. The most gorgeous part, I got to wait till Rosh Hashanah to say it like a mensch. Kehilchos guvrin yehudayim. The most gorgeous part that we have every day. I got to wait till Rosh Hashanah to say it like a mensch. It says in this part, there's a line. It says, Ki lecha tichra kol berech. That we're all going to find in a time in our lives that we're going to bow. Every knee is going to bow. Says the Gemara, what does it mean every knee is going to bow? Ze yom hamisa. At the end, I visualize. I don't want to picture when I go in. I want to picture when you're standing, you kneel. It's a painful, you kneel. But that I don't want to talk about. I don't want to think about that part. I want to talk about the exciting part. The end of the pasuk. Tishava kol lashon. There's going to be a time in your life when your lips, when your tongue, when your mouth is going to take a vow. Tishava kol lashon. I don't understand how people run through this every morning, every afternoon, every night. When you say Tishava Kalashon, you have to dream about these words. I want to tell you what these words mean. Tishava Kalashon. And then we're done. We're not going to be here too long. Darash Rabbi Simlai. You all know this, you're all familiar. I'm not going to teach you anything you don't know. I'm going to hang a mezuzah on the door. A ksuba in the living room. Darash Rabbi Simlai. Lemavla doim ebe me'e imo. Rabbi Simlai wants to know, what does a fetus look like when it's in the womb? So we know we have a sonogram. Now, today, the world, they caught up a little bit. They have a little insight. A drop, they found out. For thousands of years, we knew. So it talks about the physical position, what the fetus looks like in the womb. We're going to skip a little bit. And then it says, oh, we all know, we all heard, V'ner daluk lo al rosho, and there's a candle above the baby's head in the womb. Not sure if it's a candle. There's a light, there's a glow. There's a glow emanating from the baby's face in the womb. V'tzofe umabit misofa olam atzofo. And the baby has the ability during those days in the womb to look and see from one end of the world to the other. I think it means from one end of your life till the other. You have the ability to see from when you start and how it all ends. For you, maybe for the entire world history, maybe from everything that's going on in your generation, in the time that you live. The baby sees in the womb, he's a glow. He sees from one end of the world, his world, to the other. We continue. You'll never have such a honeymoon in your life You'll never experience such fun, glorious, exciting days in your life like those days. Those 9 months you spend in the fetus, there's no vacation like those 9 months. Umelamdim also called Torah Kula. What do you do on a good vacation? When you want to have a good time, you learn called Torah Kula. Now you're going to ask. Don't ask. But if you might ask, the Torah is a little not so fun for you. You're learning the wrong Torah. You're learning the wrong way. Because if you're learning the right Torah in the right way, the way it was in the womb, when you're learning the right Torah in the right way, and maybe the Torah you're learning now is not the Torah for your neshama. Maybe the Torah you're learning now is not the Torah from the right people. Maybe the Torah you're learning now is a Torah with a bad taste. Maybe you got your tongue burnt over the years. Maybe something happened that you have a bad taste. When you're learning the Torah in the womb with that light aglow on your face, when there's no honeymoon like those days, you're learning Kol Torah Kula. And it says, V'kevon shebol la'over ha'olam. Be careful, I'm about to tell you a nightmare. We're about to walk into a nightmare. The second you escape that fetus, that Gan Eden, into this world, into the air of this world, Bam Malach. This is when the Malach shows up. People think you learn with a Malach. I'm not sure where it says such a thing. In the womb, you learn the way it should be learned. You learn with the boss. Straight with the boss. The one above. And then the Malach shows up and you walk out. And we don't like this Malach. This is where the nightmare begins. V'satro al piv. A stira. A smack in the face he gives you. U'mishakcho kol Torah kula. The nightmare begins. The darkness, the confusion of the world that we live in now, that process has begun. When you come into the air of this world, but right before that happens, the Gemara tells us, "Ve'eno yotze misham." They don't let you leave the womb. Ad shemashbi'en oso, until you take a vow. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "Lefonov." Yichru'u, we take a bow. And then it says, Tishava kaloshon. Before you enter into this world, Tishava kaloshon. Every lip takes a vow. Umahi hashvua shemashbin oso. And what's the vow that we take? Very simple vow. Tehi tzadik. Tehi tzadik. V'al tehi rasha, be good. Do good things. Care about people. Help people. V'al tehi rasha, don't hurt people. Don't waste too much time. Don't get down on yourself. Don't feel low about yourself. Tehi tzadik, understand your value. Understand your godless. Understand your greatness. Tehi tzadik. Understand what you could accomplish. Know how much your achievements are worth upstairs. The heavy yodeya, and you should know, Shehakadosh Baruch Hu tahar, that the one above is pure. U'mishar saf tahirim, and the ones who work for him are pure. U'nishama shenasan b'cha tahira hi. And the soul, Vayipoch Ba'apa of Nishmos Chayim, that I put inside of you is pure. And you put in here pure, and I want you to stay pure. And Tehi Tzadik Ve'al Tehi Rasha. That's the vow. And we come to our birthday, it's the time to renew the vows. Simple vows. Not complicated, not confusing, not long lists, not 1,000 ideas and 1,000 promises. A vow. Tehi tzadik. Do good things. Care about people. Help people. Get close to Hashem. Think about how you could get closer to Hashem. Learn little Torah. Be a little bit good about davening. Learn about davening. Try to connect to davening. Tehi tzadik. Think highly about yourself because he thinks highly about you. Know that neshama shenasata b'cha tahirahi, because he's the one who put it in, and he's tahar umisharsav tahirim. So if it came from a place that's tar, that means it itself is tar. Think great about yourself. Know who you are and what you're capable of. And on occasion, when you forget, so hang a ksuba big and loud. Hang a mezuzah high up. You'll see it every day. And I want to tell you one thing. You're going to forget the vow. You're going to wake up one morning in November, and maybe January and March, and you're going to forget that you took a vow, you renewed your vows. Tehi tzadik v'alti hirasha. So I want to give you a mezuzah. I'm going to buy you a gift. I want to give out gifts tonight. I'm going to give you a mezuzah. This week, and every week I'm here, I have the honor, I have the schus, to meet another mezuzah. I didn't realize it was a mezuzah. Why? Because I have physical eyes, because we have physical eyes. And sometimes when we see with our physical eyes, we're blind. We see nothing. We see opposites. Sometimes we need to close our eyes to be able to see. So this week, and many weeks, I have the honor of the schus to meet every day, in the beginning of the year especially, a new mezuzah, every day a new mezuzah. So this week I had a hard week. For me, it was a hard week. So my wife told me, she said, pick a mezuzah. So I chose Sam. I needed a mezuzah. So he came, he sat next to me, gave me words of chizuk. And I was able to speak a little because he gave me a lot of chizuk tonight. And I sat next to another guy at 9 o'clock, Aviel, another guy, another mezuzah. And he comes and he sits next to me and he gives me chizuk. And in the morning, I have a few mezuzahs, so I'm getting to know well. And the better I get to know them, tzaddikim, shleimala tzaddik, there's a book coming out. And all the tzaddikim, David and Beryl. Beryl's a real guy, extremely holy guy, Beryl. Avigdor, Beryl, Moshe, all the names. And I walk around the place with hundreds of mezuzahs. And it's so easy for me to see tehi tzaddik, and tehi tzaddik, and tehi tzaddik. And tehi tzaddik, and for some reason it's so hard for me to see when I look inward, tehi tzaddik. So I encourage everybody to choose mezuzahs wisely, to be able to look around and see what it means, a Sam and a Aviel and a Avigdor Beryl Moshe and a Shleimel HaTzaddik, and to understand we're walking around a place with a bunch of neshama shenosata b'chot tohirehi by a guy that's kulo tahar umisharis of tahirim, and we have tsubas that are resonating and walking and breathing live mezuzahs walking around the place. If you ever feel that you're not living up to your vows, so look around, kiss yourself a couple mezuzahs, and then you remind yourself what the vow is. Simple vow, tehi tzaddik. And just like everybody around you is doing it, you'll also do it. Tehi tzaddik, do good things. V'al tehi rasha, that's not our struggle. But tehi tzaddik, know your value and what you're capable of. And day in and day out, and keep churning good things and a smile. What a smile could do for a guy. What a good word could do for a guy. What a compliment could do for a guy. And just like the other guy did it for you, you reciprocate, you pass it forward. Tehi tzaddik, a place. And this yeshiva is a place with hundreds of mezuzahs, live mezuzahs walking around. I encourage each of you. I gave you a gift. I bought for each guy, because you bought for me, 200 plus mezuzahs. Just kiss your mezuzahs in an appropriate way. Kiss your mezuzahs. Every day. Because they'll remind you. They'll remind you why we're here. Why va'ipach ba'apach nishmas chayim. And they'll remind you what you're supposed to be doing every day, all the days, for what's going to be. Please God. Ashana Toiva Masuka, Hashem should give us Tikase, Visichasim, Shabila Alter, Lachayim, Toivim, Lashalom, for everybody here, everybody's family, what you want and what you need and what you don't know that you want yet and you don't know that you need yet. Hashem should give Kal Mishalos, Libeinu, Latoiva, Amen.
Amen.